Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live. It's Wednesday, June 19th, 2019. It is 12 o'clock noon, and we are worldwide online radio podcast, so you can tune in anywhere in the world. Just jot down 12 to noon on your little bookmark there, your calendar, and tune in, because today we have another dynamic returning guest, and her name is Anna Weber. She is the guru of finances. She is the author. She has helped Fortune 500 companies, and she has helped people like you and me who are entrepreneurs, always looking for a way to maintain financial security, and or maybe you would like to become a multimillionaire or even a billionaire. You know, it is possible in the good old USA. And she's going to share her book with us, her latest hot book off the press, Grow Your Cash Flow. We all want to grow our cash flow. We keep getting so many emails, at least I do, I'm sure you do, and newsletters and mail telling us that there's going to be a financial crisis. We must prepare. Well, we must prepare for any emergency, correct? And many of us have never prepared for a financial crisis because we're struggling to feed our families, keep a roof over our heads, buy clothing, go to the movies once in a while, go out to a nice dinner, put gas in the car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's called the necessities of life. But do you want to do more than just live for the necessities of life and just to survive? Or do you want to go a step higher and maybe even start climbing the ladder to your American dream and your financial dream so that you can have financial security? Although we know all money belongs to God, so we must never ever worship money. We must always respect money and respect our lives and what we do with our money. And I think Anna Weber is going to explain all of that to us today, which we forget, and maybe we don't even think about it. So Grow Your Cash Flow is the name of her book. You need a copy if you are an entrepreneur, a business person. Maybe your business isn't doing as well as it should. Maybe there's one little thing that can be tweaked to make your business more successful and profitable, not just for you, but for your employees. Maybe it could even create more jobs. So this is why it's so important to be able to speak with Anna Weber. It is always enlightening and empowering and educational. And on that note, I am going to, before we enter into the world of authors and experts, and we do have an author and an expert today, I'm going to talk about a story that I think is interesting. And it's posted on the Blaze, and it just came out today. Because this is a topic that I'm very concerned about. We're talking about money while the government is diverting our money to foreigners to make them successful and using our tax dollars illegally to materially fund them and assist them and aid and abet them and harbor them in sanctuary cities and no-go zones, even if they're foreign enemies, do not want to assimilate, do not like America, do not like our constitutional laws and want to impose foreign laws on America, which is treason, by the way, and who are now passing out driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, which in my opinion makes them illegal driver's licenses. So they are making us complicit to fund people who violated the federal and state laws of this nation and are here in violation of our laws, who disrespected our sovereignty, disrespected our ports of entry, disrespected our Border Patrol, ICE, law enforcement, and they didn't go through the airports, so they didn't get naked x-rayed and radiated like Americans do. They didn't get patted down and sometimes intrusively. They didn't get their suitcases searched. No, they just walk across the borders now because of the Democrats under the Obama watch, and it doesn't matter what they're bringing with them, even if it's trafficking kids, females, or drugs, or guns, they get a pass, but not the legal law-abiding Americans who we must be legally in the USA with a certified birth certificate and or other legal documentation of citizenship to get a legal driver's license. So this is really stunning because California, under Governor Jerry Brown, started this process. He did a lot of damage because we have more traffic, we have more accidents, and number three, why are they on welfare if they're coming into this country without a car? How do they afford to purchase a car without being a legal citizen from a U.S. company? And how do they obtain legal insurance from a U.S. insurance company, because you cannot drive in the USA legally without insurance? So where are they getting money to purchase the vehicles? Where are they getting the money to purchase the insurance, which all should be illegal under our constitutional laws that uphold legal immigration, legal ports of entry, legal identification? So are these people who are illegally in our country, have they stolen our IDs, our social security numbers, our names, our addresses, and using it to vote and to drive and to live in the USA? Are they using fake identification? Americans need to ask questions. And Americans need to support the President of the United States and demand and call the Congress and demand and urge them in a polite, respectful way to uphold their sworn oath, which is to uphold the United States Constitution, which includes legal immigration, legal identification, legal ports of entry, legal citizenship, and legal citizenship requires assimilation. And assimilation means that you are swearing to uphold the United States Constitution. You are not here and fleeing from what you say as an asylum seeker from foreign tyrannical laws, but with intent to impose tyrannical laws on the American people. So we have a lot of questions going on here. You need to think about it. You need to talk about it. You need to read about it and do your research, because these are very, very important to our financial security. We, the American people who were naturally born in this United States, it's our homeland. We cannot be deported no matter what we do. But all legal or illegal immigrants can be deported for committing crimes against the USA. And we must also support legal, loyal, naturalized Americans. The only difference between them and natural-born Americans is they cannot be eligible to be a U.S. president. And only Americans who are naturally born in this country to two legal Americans on U.S. soil cannot be deported. This is our homeland. We need to protect it, because it's being taken over, apparently, by the open border policies. So be proactive, do your job, and let's protect America for our financial security, or we won't have any before long. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, because we have a great author, a great expert returning. Always a pleasure to have Anna Weber with us, and talking about her latest book, hot off the press, Grow Your Cash Flow. So let's take a break, and we will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back on Columbo Chronicles Live. You're listening to The Rose, Rose Columbo, and I'm here for you. And today, this is a very important day, because as we all know, we're all have this little cloud over our heads, worried about an economic crisis, because so many experts are flooding our emails and our mailboxes with doom and gloom. So we need to lift ourselves up with someone who has the knowledge and the background on how to pull yourself up out of doom and gloom and figure out how to gain financial security in your life, especially if you own a business, or especially if you have a great idea for a business on how you think you could make some money, and or if you're an entrepreneur. So let's get started, because Anna Weber is from Romania. She moved to Israel, and she was very successful there in the financial world. And then she came to the USA, lucky us, where she's a great success with many books, which you can find on Amazon.com. And she does an excellent job with professional work, with her professional work in the economic financial area. And the name of her book, again, is Grow Your Cash Flow. So let's get started, and let's say hello to Anna. Hi, Anna. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm great, and, you know, it's always a pleasure to welcome you, because you are a wealth of information, and, you know, oh, you're so welcome, and you have this great new book, Grow Your Cash Flow, And so many people are concerned today about finances because, you know, of the national debt. And we hear so much about, you know, maybe the country will go bankrupt, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, but I always say, you know, there's other emergencies besides that to worry or to think about and prepare for. And so you're very successful, and you provide lots of information and advice to your customers and clients. So, Anna, tell us why you wrote Grow Your Cash Flow, and tell us also how to make money your friend.
Yes. Well, I wrote this book, actually, I'm passionate about cash flow, and I'm passionate about people at the same time. Cash flow is huge. It's a huge component in our lives, not just personally, but in the business and professionally. And when we don't build a relationship with money and a healthy relationship with money, we basically stop the circulation of money. Then, therefore, we really deal with economic crisis and money problems. You know, money is a fantastic servant. It can never be your master. And that's something that's very, very important to understand. Now, in today's economy and today's financial position, many companies either minimize or basically close down. It's been really quite a challenging time for the USA. But USA will never go bankrupt, and USA will always stand out, and it will always be strong because this is USA, you know. We basically don't give up and don't give in. We just give more, and we begin, how should I say, a new cycle, a new way of thinking in order to reach success and reach abundance and reach healthy cash flow.
So then after all of that, how do you make money your friend?
That's great. Well, also by building relationships and being generous and being authentic and genuine. I believe I've always lived with a budget. I believe that you have to be careful where you spend some money and where you don't spend some money. So that is a very huge component to this book because it's teaching you, it's giving you various takeaways. Each and every chapter has in the beginning a takeaway where you learn how to build this relationship with money. So it's important to be generous. It's important to keep some of it as well. But it's also very important to understand that this is a relationship. Just like you have a relationship with energy, with food, and with people, you have a relationship with money.
Well, the reason I'm asking that question is because I have seen people who made a lot of money, even in my own family, splurge.
Right.
And then end up having to start all over again.
Oh, yes. So many people, you know, experiencing this, and it's very, very common because people never, let's say, had abundance or had a huge amount of money. They will go out without kind of a, not necessarily control, but kind of a balance, and it will be a lot of emotional purchasing. And then they realize, well, why did I buy this? Like I heard a couple of days ago, a jersey was sold for, a very special jersey, was sold for $5.6 million. Wow, it kind of like blew me away. If somebody can afford $5.6 million for a very special jersey, what is their financial position? Was it an emotional purchase or was it something very, very logical? So we don't know that at this point. But these are the examples. People will go out and overspend or perhaps overly hold on to it as well and really be scared to spend the money. And once they do that and people are following those people, you actually basically stop the circulation. You stop the economy. That's one thing that people need to be very careful with.
Well, that answers my question about, you know, when I mentioned that we're getting a lot of emails, a lot of mail about the doom and gloom of the national debt that's going to, you know, bankrupt us and blah, 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 blah. And so then that just goes into what you said, that people start hoarding their money, afraid to spend, and then the economy doesn't stimulate because we have to stimulate businesses in order to keep the whole circulation going. So
exactly.
Why must money...
Guess?
Yeah, so why must money continue to circulate, Anna?
Money must circulate because it's affecting each and every, it's a domino effect. If I go to the supermarket and I buy, let's say, $30 or $40 or $50 worth of groceries, milk products and fruits and vegetables, whatever that may be, obviously that supermarket buys their produce from a farmer or from another larger distributor. So it's affecting it's affecting each and every one. Now, believe it or not, the point what I'm trying to make here is that growing up in Romania, we didn't have abundance of everything, not as much as in the U.S. So we didn't have refrigerators, so we had very small volume of food and that we used for a day or 2 days, and that was it. And I'm still continuing the same pattern. I don't have anything in my freezer. I buy fresh, I cook it, I eat it, and then I buy fresh again. So I don't accumulate a bunch of products or a bunch of food in my freezer, and here one I'm going to heat up. There's nothing wrong with doing so, but I just don't do it because I'm just not accustomed to it. So basically, I don't heat up. You know, I just use fresh, like I said, and use it. So therefore, it's the present circulation is the domino effect. If I go buy gas because I need to go to the supermarket, I'm impacting the oil companies. So people keep their jobs. So it continues on and on and on.
Right. And so I think like if you know, like when President Bush was in office and the economy was stifled at one point after the, you know, problems and so financial problems with everything going on in the government. So he actually sent like $600 to the American taxpayers and to every family and who were American taxpayers.
Right.
And I can tell you, I was in retail, and I could tell you that money stimulated the economy because people felt good that they got this money. And they went out, and many of them said to me, I'm going to spend it on myself because I'm always having to, you know, be careful what I do. So I'm going to enjoy it. And I thought, but still they're stimulating the economy, whether they're going to get the spa, you know, or they're going to buy them a perfume, you know, go to lunch. They are stimulating the economy. And that was one of the great things that President Bush, I do admire that he did.
Yes, it was wonderful. And you know what? When we blend emotions with common sense and logic, and we feel, do we need this? Is it really essential? Is it something that's beneficial? Or perhaps we don't need it now. Or let's say we have to take the children to the dentist because, you know, we have to have a certain expense because the teeth are not growing properly or whatever that may be. So in case of an emergency or in case of any kind of need, when we have that extra money because we didn't spend it foolishly, we're not so stressed out. And stress is really giving us the unavailability, not availability, but unavailability to think straight. So we get very anxious and we get very stressed because of money.
Right. It's so true. I mean, the number one cause of divorce is finances.
Yes. and because people are not on the same path. Now again, if let's say it's a couple, a young couple, and she's let's say an executive at a company, and she wants to buy $500-$600 pairs of shoes, she actually needs to discuss it with her significant other. Is it okay to do it now? Perhaps I can wait a couple months and wear what I have, because we have, you know, these and these, et cetera, expenses. Same vice versa for the gentleman. And they will get into these arguments, and the relationship crumbles down because of money.
Yes, I mean, I can recall a young girl asking me, she said, it was at Nordstrom, she said, Rose, she said, this purse was $600, and she said, she worked there, and she said, and now it's on sale for $350. Do you think I should buy it? And she goes, and I said, well, let me ask you this question. How many hours do you have to stand at on your feet on cement, on a cement floor to pay for that purse? And she goes, oh, my gosh, I never thought about it that way.
Yes. You know, in Hungarian, they say there's no no such a thing as a bargain if you cannot afford it. Even if it's just $99, regardless, if you cannot afford it, then it's not a bargain. Even though it was $1,000 at one time, now it's $99.99. It's not a bargain because you don't need it. So we mean in this country, I mean, we're very accustomed to have a volume of, you know, you have sets of jeans and you have these, they don't fit, and these fit, and these, you know. So we really buy so many times, so often, when we don't need to buy anything.
Compulsive buying. Oh, I said it was compulsive buying.
Compulsive buying, that's what it is. So there is. So you have to strike a balance. You have to realize that, yes, you can't spend it all, you can't save it all. There's got to be a happy medium. You want to impact the economy. You want to impact the domino effect. You want people to have jobs. You want people to have existence. I mean, I think you see more, I mean, Los Angeles area and a little bit of Orange County as well, you see more people homeless and more people sleeping in their motor homes than I have ever seen before. And it's kind of appalling. What is it? Is it lack of jobs? Is it lack of money? Or what really happens to these people?
Oh, my gosh. I just saw a lady yesterday. She was probably 65. I was pulling out of the post office, and she's sitting there with a sign saying, "I need help. I live in my camper." This is America, and I'm seeing more and more of it. And I'm talking about women, Anna, women who are senior citizens, you know, who are not young and beautiful and can easily get a job. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you can just get a job on your looks in some cases. And so we all know that when we were very young, you know. And but we're talking about American women in this country who are either living on the streets in tents and in their campers. What happened, Anna? What happened to our society as far as money goes? Did the government waste it? Did they steal our money? Did they not provide the jobs we needed? And how do we lift ourselves up out of this?
Yeah, I wish I could give you accurate and authentic answers. I don't know the answers to all these questions, but the facts and the reality speaks for itself. Like I said, I have never seen more people having really homeless. You go to Fashion Island, which is a Newport Beach nice outdoor mall, and you have people standing there. I need money to eat. I need money to drink. I mean, to have water. I mean, it's very, very demotivating. And I think this is very important.
Very important to what you're doing, because I think we need to bring this out to the American people that this is real. I mean, I grew up at a time when this never happened and never saw anything like it. And then in the 90s, in our, you know, the OCC, I started seeing a few homeless people. And I was like, I never saw homeless people in this area. And then before you know it, you know, by after the new millennium and where we are today, you're seeing it everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're in Beverly Hills or the OC or New York City or no matter where you're going today. And so we as a country need to figure out how to grow our cash flow. And your book is Grow Your Cash Flow. So, Anna, why do you love Mondays?
Oh, that's a great question. Monday is the beginning. You know, it's the start off for every week, and it's basically the working day, the first working day on the calendar. So I strongly believe that when you embrace that first day of the week, each and every day following Monday will be not only efficient, it will be productive, but you will have a great attitude. And I think attitude is just about everything. So I think it's very important to respect and honor and really cherish that first day of the week. I know it's not the weekend, and you have different responsibilities that in the weekend you choose what you do. Monday is a regular work day or a school day, so there's obligations. But I think when we embrace it, we look at it in such a positive fashion that everything turns around much more efficient and much more lucrative. So I think this is very important also to grow your cash flow, because Monday is the first day of producing, making things happen. And if you have that passion, then it's impacting the rest of the week.
Well, I think people like you and me who have suffered, not of our own doing, but because of the governments, and
right.
and had everything taken away from us, and we had to pull
yes.
ourselves up by our bootstrings and start over again,
yes.
step by step
yes.
by step. I think we're very wise
right.
and have a lot of information for people, and we know what
yes.
it feels like. We've walked in their shoes, and I think that's why we're more affected by seeing a woman on the street holding a sign that you know she was a decent woman. You can just look at her and see that. And
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
And so how do we wash away our debt, Anna?
I think it's got to be done with small portions, just like with food, with everything else. We can't go to extremes. I think with small portions, see which one has more priority, which one is more important. Which one will impact more people and more audiences and more the society. So we gotta really do some due diligence. You know, when you buy a house or you buy anything of substantial matter and you spend quite a bit of funds or you get a loan for it, you really do your due diligence. You wanna see the plumbing works and the electricity works properly. So the same thing with money. I think it's very there's experts in the world who know how to digest the situation and really create more of a lucrative and more of a successful position, not just for themselves but for everyone that's impacted by it. And you know, I do have to mention is that I came with a train back from Seattle, Washington to Los Angeles, and there was a lady, a homeless lady. They come to California because the weather is much more attractive from other states, and she somehow got on the train, so the train did not leave until they got the lady off. And we were about 15 people in one in a cabin eating some burgers, hot dogs, whatever. And we said, no, please don't take the lady off the train. Let her go to her destination because obviously she doesn't have money to buy herself a ticket. And then we let the lady go, and she got off somewhere in Northern California, and that was the end of the story. But it's very few people who stand up for what is right and what is proper and what is decent and authentic. People just don't care if it doesn't, pertain themselves or affecting themselves. They don't care. They don't voice. There's no voice out there.
Exactly. Unless you've walked in those shoes, you just really are just like, oh, well, I'm sorry about that. See ya, and they don't really stop to think. Like my kids say, Mom, why do you give money to the homeless every time you see somebody that's homeless? And I said,
right.
What if they're using it for drugs? Well, not just my kids, but other people say that to me. My kids stop saying that to me. But they're adults.
Yeah,
and I said, because I don't know what their circumstances are. I said, maybe they're really hungry and I don't need to eat, so I can give them this money. I don't need a Starbucks coffee. I can give it to them. You know, they can go to McDonald's, And so,
exactly.
Because I don't know their circumstance, and I'm not their judge. I only know they look hungry to me.
Yeah.
So,
we can't pass judgment, and each and every person has their own story and their own triumphs and their own, falling down. And it's very hard for people. It's easy to pass judgment and saying, okay, well, this and this, that. But we don't know all the circumstances. So an act of generosity can influence, again, it's influencing the whole market, the whole economy. It has an impact on everything else, whether it's $2 or $20,
It makes me so happy when I see a big corporation that actually is feeding the homeless and doing things like that, because they are very successful because they're giving back. And I think that's one of the keys, instead of being selfish and greedy and hoarding it because you can't take it with you. You can't take anything with you. Those companies that give back to our American people who need a hand up. I call it a hand up, And so anyway, I think that they are always going to be successful because of their compassion and their empathy for other people. And you know, and they have a God in their hearts. You know, they have God in their hearts.
Exactly. And you know what? And they're not sorry that they're separating themselves from a few dollars. They're not gonna miss it. You know, anyways. But it's not really so much money. But look at the deed that you're doing. It's fabulous.
Yes, and they think probably people don't notice, but people like us and many out there in the audience do notice. We do pay attention, and then we do shop at those places.
Absolutely.
We actually do. And that stimulates the economy.
Yeah.
So how can time, because everybody's on a schedule, Anna, and people only have so much time in the day, depending on their health and their energy and what they need to do. How can time be a very good friend for you?
Oh, time is, thank you for asking that question, because I'm really very deeply passionate about time. You know, Rose, time is everything. People sometimes at the end of their lives, they're asking for, what are they asking for? For more money, for more relationship, they're asking for more time. They want to be around for more longer, you know, period of time. So when we develop also, again, a relationship and we manage our allotted time in a functional way, not in a dysfunctional way, but in a functional way, we follow different formats and different priorities and portions, and we prepare, and we have a certain purpose, and we definitely have passion for time, then time is not running away from us. The time is actually expanding. So people, I don't believe in people working too much overtime, because after a certain amount of time, you're not as efficient, you're not as devoted, you're not as concentrating or focused on the task. So I believe if you give your gusto and you work six, seven hours a day, but you really give it your best and you utilize that time in the most productive fashion, then of course it's influencing your life. The same thing goes at home. You don't just waste time with, you know, you stand there and talking to a neighbor for 45 minutes. Maybe you should just do a load of laundry or cook something for the family or read something that's very important. So I'm not saying that to stop time work, you know, to stop doing the things that you really enjoy doing. On the contrary, learn how to enjoy and love everything that you do, and time will be your friend for the rest of your life.
Yes, and it's so funny because it seems to me like, you know, people who remain active no matter what their age is and, you know, and keep their minds going and keep doing positive things, that there isn't enough time in the day for them.
Yes. And you know, you make time for everything. And people ask me sometimes, they say, how do you have time for this? I said, you know what, I appreciate time. I don't waste time. There's a big difference between appreciating and embracing time and wasting time. And I feel very free. I feel at liberty. I don't feel like I'm, you know, stuck in one place. Not at all. I feel very, very, very open, you know, to many things, because time is my friend, just the same way as money as well.
So how important do you think it is for people who read your book, Grow Your Cash Flow, which is on Amazon.com, along with your other wonderful books, how important do you think it is for individuals to, and young people, to learn how to make the world a better place?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. Well, young people can be, you know, they can get an education, they can get athletic experience, but they don't have the life experience that you get, you know, that you get throughout time and throughout the years. So I think
right. It's
very important. If people, you know, some people don't like to read, but if you only read the benefits or the takeaways or the gold nuggets in this book, something is going to click. Something is going to stay with you. And if you only apply 10% of the experience or the wisdom or the tools that are, you know, written in this book, then you are already you take the driver's seat in your life vehicle, because it's going to teach you something that perhaps you never thought about. And it didn't teach you in the university, you didn't learn it at home, and you didn't learn while you were playing basketball. So it's very important. I feel, Rose, that the most important thing is behavior. How do we behave with other people? How do we make people feel important? Like there's a quote that I said, even a rock wants to feel important. So regardless to what position you have, if you have an assembly line position or you're making French fries at the McDonald's, or you're an executive leader at a certain company at seven-figure paycheck, regardless, it depends. It all depends on how you behave, how you're attracting people. And I think this book is giving you some highlight and some know-how, is that how do I behave in this situation? What do I really do? Well, what would be healthier for me and for everyone else around me? And I think that is very important. It's leadership. It's leadership in your life, in your personal life, in leadership at the office, and in leadership everywhere you go. So people love to follow you because they see that spark in the person, and they see that there is something about their behavior. They filter before they say something. They filter before they do something, and it's extremely, extremely useful in the world.
I see that in President Trump's speech yesterday, which was an amazing speech, and I want to congratulate him for his wonderful speech for America, for Americans, for our beautiful country, and because I saw him saying, this is for you. I'm doing this for you. I don't need it. I got money. I don't need this, you know. But I want you to be able to live in a free country, not a socialist country, not a communist country, but a free country under the United States Constitution and the U.S. flag, which goes back to capitalism and being who you want to be, and why people will read Grow Your Cash Flow, because we wouldn't need it in another country. We need it in this country first. Then, of course, other countries can read it and use it, but there are countries who cannot grow their own cash. So I think your book is so important, Grow Your Cash Flow, because
Thank
we can take
so
advantage
much.
Of this, these tips you give us, and enlighten us and empower us and motivate us to do it, and not just mature people, but young people will need this information. So what is the power of no? What do you mean by that?
Oh, the power of no. You know, this is something that goes back probably to our childhood and the way we were raised, and sometimes there's no or yes is connected to insecurity and feeling kind of like, how is that going to impact the other person, or just I have to say yes, yes, yes. But yes is not always healthy. So when I talk about the power of no, it's very important sometimes to say no, this cannot be done because it's not a healthy, it doesn't produce healthy results. So you know, the president of companies and executives and CEOs and CFOs, and I myself have a high position in a company I'm consulting. So we kind of get accustomed to yes, yes, yes to the higher management, but it's not always it's not determining success for the organization. So sometimes we say no, I object to this. I think let me speak and let me share my views, and then you're realizing that it's taking a different direction. So the no becomes a yes later on.
I think that's excellent advice, and I think everybody should think about that, and because a lot of people are afraid, Anna, to say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
exactly.
I was afraid when I was young to say no to any authority at all.
Yes.
And so I had to learn how to say no.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I think it's a process. Because you're so accustomed to it, like I was born in Romania in a communist country, you had to be careful, you know. It's like you couldn't say yes and you couldn't say yes. You couldn't express yourself at all. You just had to hold it back. So sometimes it's very beneficial to say the no and to really go another direction. You have to, just like doing the due diligence, you have to look at the ultimate results. If this is going to be very healthy for the organization, impacting 100 employees, 200 employees, and so forth, or it's just something that's kind of rising in, you know, in the momentum. So
that is absolutely amazing information. It is empowering. You motivated me. I'm sure you're motivating a lot of people out there, and I'm sure your book, Grow Your Cash Flow, is going to be extremely successful.
Thank you.
Now is your time to shine, and which you've already been shining for a long time, but you
thank
have a time
you.
To shine
thank
on Colombo Chronicles and give any message you want and any information about how to contact you or purchase your books.
Yeah, so the book can be purchased on Amazon. People can contact me at anna@annaweberdoxa.com. They can even call me, 949-422-1830. I make time for people with questions. I think it's very important. And I think it's one of the most important facets in our lives is not to panic and not to get scared of certain situations that in the reality, because change is constant, change is guaranteed, and we can definitely change things around by looking at things differently. So yes, you can have a moment of fear and anxiety and say, oh my God, but then that overwhelming sensation needs to kind of deplete. You press the delete button on your keyboard and say, I'm going to delete it, I'm going to do something. And I think that's very important for people to understand and to practice in their life.
Very good. And I just want to thank you so much, Anna, for being a return guest, because people need this motivation, and they need to hear it, and then they can buy your books and they can become financially secure, because that is a major part of our life on the planet.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I thank you once again for doing all this
thank
hard
you
work
so much.
And sharing it with us.
Thank
God bless
you very
you.
Much, Rose. You're amazing, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Anna Weber has left the building. And again, the name of her book is Grow Your Cash Flow. You can find Anna Weber with one B, W-E-B-E-R. It's A-N-A, Anna. My grandmother was named Anna, but she had two N's. Good old Italian, Anna Maria. And Anna is A-N-A and then W-E-B-E-R, and Grow Your Cash Flow, along with many other books you will find on Amazon that can help you become financially secure or move up and climb the ladder of success to whatever your American dream happens to be. And on that note, we're going to take a little break, and I will come back, and we'll talk about an issue of the day. So don't touch that dial, because this is the Rose, and I'll be back in a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live. Prior to entering into the world of authors and experts, I was telling you about an article that I'm concerned about on the Blaze, but I've been concerned about it since for a long time, because Governor Jerry Brown, former Governor Jerry Brown, and apparently Governor Newsom, who is Nancy Pelosi's nephew, and they're all very wealthy, apparently aren't concerned about the traffic in California, New York, and New York. Heaven knows, I think the traffic in New York is far worse, well, not far worse, but worse than the traffic in California, and especially L.A., and the Riverside Freeway, and so forth. And so now we have so many traffic accidents because there's excessive traffic on our freeways and our roads. And then we have the infrastructure that wasn't funded under Obama's watch, who promised to use the stimulus money in the trillions of our tax dollars to do what? To repair the infrastructure in the USA in dire need of repairs for a very long time, decades. Bridges, pipes, roads, dams, and what has happened? Because none of them repaired the infrastructure that is in dire need of repairs around the nation, especially with those trillions of dollars and those 350,000 shovel-ready jobs Obama promised that didn't even exist, are still in need of repairs at taxpayers' expense, but not using the stimulus money, because the stimulus money went to the IMF, the banks, it went to vacations for the Obamas, it went to Fast and Furious to supply guns over to cartels in Mexico, it went to open borders, you name it, it went. But we, the taxpayers, didn't see our infrastructure, our dams, our bridges, our pipes, and we've had a lot of explosions, sinkholes, bridges, dams, flooding, etc., over the decades. So now, New York, Governor Cuomo and his regime, California, Governor Brown and Newsom and Pelosi and Harris and Feinstein and Waters, who are wealthy, live in mansions, taxpayer-funded for life, been in office 10, 20, 30, 40-plus years. They're well set. They have private health care insurance. They get taxpayer-funded pension, even though they are wealthy from the American taxpayers, even though they did not secure the borders, even though they did not uphold legal immigration, even though they migrated illegals into our country and bypassed TSA naked X-ray radiation, which is like forcing Americans into a microwave, because radiation has adverse effects on the human body, direct adverse effects. It can cause cataracts, it can cause cancer, it can cause death, it can cause aging, it can cause children's development to be stunted. It can or slow down. It can cause not only death, it can cause sterility. So Hitler used radiation for sterility during World War II. So what's happening in the good old USA? President Trump is trying to battle all of the deep state, but they keep coming at us with these illegal driver's licenses now. Because I call them illegal driver's licenses because they're being handed over to illegal people in our country from foreign nations and foreign enemy nations, socialist, communist, jihadist nations. And we have unidentified, millions of unidentified foreigners in our country. And according to the law books in the United States of America, that is aiding and abetting and harboring illegals inside the United States of America and violating sworn oaths to uphold, defend, protect the sovereignty of this nation, the welfare and safety of all of legal Americans, and to uphold legal immigration, legal ports of entry, legal identification, legal citizenship. But they aren't doing any of that because they're aiding and abetting and supporting illegals, not legal Americans, who they are then making complicit in this aiding and abetting of illegals in the United States of America by rewarding them for violating our laws and forcing Americans to pick up the tab for their housing, their food, their clothing, their Obamacare, their the polygamists and all their wives and children, the bigamists, the people who commit incest, all of these people from their cultures who believe in all of these ideologies and laws are in our country now, setting up no-go zones, telling Americans they cannot enter in those public areas, setting up their own police departments, reporting Americans to the police, claiming they insulted them, accusing them, attempting to impose their foreign laws on American soil. And now they're being handed driver's licenses since Governor Brown began this program in California, which means more traffic. And people have to wonder, how can a legal driver's license handed to an illegal be legal? I would like the Governor Newsom, Governor Brown, and Governor Cuomo to stand up and explain that to the American people. I would also like them to explain, if these people are poor and we're taxpayer funding them, when they enter our country, how are they buying cars? How are they buying legal insurance? And how can they force insurance companies to sell illegal insurance to illegal people? Because in the U.S. law books, it says that illegals, aliens, or non-citizens, whichever you prefer to call them, according to the law books, are criminals. They are in violation of federal and state laws. So that makes everyone who is supporting these programs for illegals that are aiding and abetting and harboring and materially assisting them with our tax dollars against our will and against the Constitution of the United States of America and sworn oaths that they took to gain access to their positions in public office, are making us complicit in their violations of the constitutional legal immigration laws. So, and they're enslaving Americans to fund millions of unidentified illegals. So if they're all unidentified because they're coming, they're bypassing ports of entry, bypassing TSA, bypassing Border Patrol, bypassing law enforcement, bypassing ICE inspections, which are required by constitutional law, then how are they identifying them and sending them Social Security checks, IRS refunds, up to $20,000+ each, according to credible news articles? How are they placing them on welfare and SNAP food stamp programs? How are they providing housing for them if they're unidentified? How are they sending out Social Security checks to them, which they didn't earn, and that money belongs to the American workers who retired and paid into that system for decades? That money belongs to the American taxpayers. It doesn't belong to illegals. Their country are responsible for them. We aren't responsible for them. Where in the Constitution does it say we're responsible to fund 19 to 25-year-old male adults on health care that are not our responsibility, nor are we related to them? So where in the Constitution does it say that Americans must provide driver's licenses, which in my opinion appear to be illegal driver's licenses, to illegal drivers who may or may not have insurance that appears to be illegal insurance, and creating more traffic on our roads, more accidents, more deaths, more injuries? And if they aren't, and if they aren't insured, then who's going to pay for the families of those victims? The state of California? The state of New York? Because I see lawsuits coming. I don't know about you, but I see lots of lawsuits coming. So I think it's time for the American people to wake up, start calling these Democrats, and start asking them questions and demand that they explain how a driver's license in the United States of America can become a legal driver's license for illegals who are even in our public, who have been elected into public office, who are lawyers in our country, who are graduating from Harvard and then becoming lawyers in our country, practicing law even though they are illegally in our country. So where do the Americans come into this big picture? Why don't you start calling Governor Newsom, Governor Cuomo, Speaker Pelosi's office, and respectfully and legally and ask them questions. Tell them you want them to come on television and explain this to the American people, explain their aiding and abetting, harboring, and materially assisting illegals and supporting and pushing for open borders and sanctuary cities and all the diseases that have been brought into the USA from third world nations by unidentified persons, such as typhus, bubonic plague, TB, Ebola, measles, mumps, chickenpox, hepatitis, and more. And there's even a foot fungus, in case you didn't know it. There's a foot fungus. And TSA makes you take your shoes off at the airports. I think we need to call our congressman, write our congressman, and tell them no more taking off our shoes at the airports. Do you know how many diseases we can catch by those filthy, dirty floors in the airports? It's time to get rid of the naked x-rays, and it's time to get rid of the take off your shoes. Stand on the yellow line, hands up. None of these illegals do that. They just cross over the border for the past decade under the Obama regime, still coming without any inspections, without going through the naked x-rays, without being patted down, without being searched, without anything they're carrying being searched, but not the legal, loyal, law-abiding, natural-born Americans. Time to wake up, America, because the clock is ticking. So until we talk again on Wednesday from 12 to noon, God bless you. God bless the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. God bless the firefighters, law enforcement, especially ICE and Border Patrol, who are now having to become babysitters and do lots and lots of paperwork and be exposed to lots and lots of diseases, some deadly. Shame on Governors Newsom, Brown, their AGs, Cuomo, the Oregon governor, Michigan governor, and all the Democrats.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.